You'll find our scripture reading this morning in Paul's epistle to the Colossians on chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse number 9. And Paul writes, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And it's God's desire that God's people in these days be filled with the very wisdom of God. And verse 10 shows us what it means to be filled with the wisdom of God, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Filled with wisdom, that we might be faithful witnesses for his name and for his glory. And then in verse 11 we read, "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Notice the progress. Filled with wisdom. Faithful in witness. Fruitful in works. Fortified or strengthened with might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And of course, we will be fervent in thanksgiving. And it is good to gather together on the Lord's Day morning in the name of the Lord to remember him in his own appointed way and be fervent in giving thanks to God for all he hath done for us, for all that he is doing for us, and for all that he will yet do for us. Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And there is freedom from darkness. We have been rescued, ransomed, healed, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing? And then you see there is forgiveness received in verse number 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So we are truly blessed. And I want to speak to you this morning on the course of the Christian, on the pathway of the pilgrim. And we pray that as we come to the end of our own Christian witness and testimony, we might be able to say with Paul, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." And of course, you know, when we became the children of God through faith in Christ, we became pilgrims. And we are walking homeward to glory as pilgrims, strangers to this old world. And thank God, as pilgrims on our way to the Father's house. So I want to look at the pilgrim's pathway, or the course of the believer, as we go through this waste, howling wilderness. And I want to use the three tenses, past, present, and future, to do it. Once in the path, in the past, we were ruined. Now, in the present, we are redeemed. And finally, in the future, we shall be rewarded. Won't it be wonderful to hear from the lips of the Master, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord." But I want to look at our past. Once in the past, we were in a state of ruin before God. We were the children of wrath and of disobedience. And we were dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and in sin. And we were once afar off from God. What a picture. Children of wrath and of disobedience, dead in trespasses and sins, and walking afar off from God. What a picture. And you see, once we were rebels to God and to grace. We walked in our own path and we walked our own way. And we were strangers to God. And we did not know God. But thank God for the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men, appeared to you and me. And God in love and grace and mercy has delivered us from the wrath to come. And you, dear child of God, hath he quickened, made alive, who formerly were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, and is still working in the children of disobedience. And who is the prince of the power of the earth? None other than Satan. He's the god of this world. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, desiring the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, get the hold of it now, children of wrath, even as others. And men and women who are out of Christ and without a Saviour are abiding continually under the wrath of God. This is why we must be born again. But even when we were dead in sin, God quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace are we saved. Grace is a charming sign. And thank God for the grace that reached us and saved us and brought us to Christ. But you can see our ruin in times past. We were children of wrath and disobedience, dead in trespasses and sins, and we were far off from God. And at that time, ye were without Christ. Beloved, we were Christless, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Not only were we Christless, but we were hopeless. What a state we were in. But here's the point. And without God in the world, we were godless. Oh, I know, friends, that there are many in the world today, and they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And there's many in this world today, they have the religion, but they don't have regeneration. Nicodemus had his religion. In Judaism, he was a rabbi. He was a teacher of the law. But to him, Christ said, ye must be born again. And what a sad thing it would be, dear friends. For at the end of life's journey, men discover, to their horror, that their religion and their reformation was insufficient, because they will hear Christ say, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, friends, we were strangers and aliens to God because we were without Christ. But thank God now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh. How? By the precious, precious blood of Christ. And this is why we can sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. My soul from sin set free has found at last a resting place in Christ who died for me. As George often says, isn't it great to be saved? You can see our past, can't you? All we like sheep had gone astray. That was our ruin. We turned every one to his own way. That was our rebellion against God. We were without God. But listen how he finishes the text. And with his stripes we are healed. Friends, that's man's redemption. What a picture. Once in the past, ruined. But I want to speak about now. Now in the present. Redeemed. Redeemed. Rescued. Redeemed. Reconciled. Go back again to Colossians and chapter 1 and verse number 13. Speaking of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Rescued. Isn't it wonderful to be rescued? You see, here we were in our unsaved days, in our unregenerate days, in our Christless, hopeless, godless days. We were led astray by sin and by the god of this world. And we followed the powers of darkness, because we were in the kingdom of darkness. But in love and grace and mercy, Christ came to us. He revealed to us our deep, dire, desperate need of Christ to be our Savior. And we bowed the knee before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We confessed our sins and we called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And at that split psychological second, we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Saved by grace alone. And friends, there we are. We are rescued, translated out of the kingdom of darkness. But look at verse 14. In whom? You see, in verse 13 it says, who hath delivered us? And in the same wonderful person in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have been rescued. But our redemption is wonderful. Because not only are we rescued from the kingdom of darkness, but we are ransomed. Ransomed. And we're healed. And thank God we are forgiven. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Haven't we something to sing about? You see, we are rescued. We are redeemed. But let's go a step further in verse 21. We are reconciled. That's a mighty step. You see, once we were the enemies of God because of the works of the flesh. And you, verse 21 says, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Friend, I find that amazing. That our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to Calvary's cross, and the one who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in him. But something else took place at the cross. Something wonderful took place at the cross. For in the body of his flesh through death, Christ hath reconciled us to God. For God himself was in Christ at the place called Calvary, reconciling the world to himself. And we can sing as believers, near. So very near to God. Nearer we could not be. For in the person of God's Son, we are as near as he. Dear child of God, can you grasp this just now? That our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, when he accomplished the work of redemption, and he rose again the third day, he ascended where to the right hand of the Majesty on high, an exalted Prince and Savior. And positionally, not yet a reality, but positionally, you and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And how closer can you get to God than that? Do you see your position? All you have to do by faith is to realize your position in Christ and put out your hand and touch the Father. Friend, that's an encouragement to pray. For we cannot be closer to God than that in Christ. But here's something else that I want you to say. Rescued, redeemed, reconciled. But thank God, eternally delivered from the wrath to come. Can I turn you to 1 Thessalonians for a moment, please? And chapter 1, and I must do this quickly, or we'll be here all morning. As a matter of fact, it's afternoon now. But we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place where your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. For they themselves show of us the manner of entering in that we had unto you, how that you turned to God from idols," and that's their conversion. Thank God for the day we turn from this world to God. "To serve the living and the true God," that's separation. "To serve the living and true God," that's our occupation. "And to wait for his Son from heaven," that's our contemplation. "Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which hath delivered us from the wrath to come," that's our expectation. Friend, go back to Colossians, please. Chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. "That in our hearts might be comforted, knit together in love, unto all riches and the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God the Father and of Christ." You see, as new creatures in Christ, we are rich beyond men. Not rich in earthly things, but we are rich in spiritual things. "That we might acknowledge the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all our hid, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now look at verse 7. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Not only are we rich in riches, rich in Christ, but we are rooted in Christ. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Is wonderfully led in his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. Have faith in God. We are rich, we are rooted, and we are built up in Christ and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But look at verse 12. "Buried with him in baptism, when also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, hath he made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Rich, rooted, risen, and seated in heavenly places in Christ, and finally, in the future, rewarded. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24. "Knowing, dear believer, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And if we serve him faithfully, remember, he's no man's debtor. He will be richly rewarded." Richly rewarded. You see, we are heirs of God. and we are joint heirs with Christ. How privileged, how rich, rooted, and then rewarded in a day to come. What shall be that reward for the believer who has trusted in him? How will our pilgrim pathway finish? How will the course of the Christian finish? Well, we shall be like him. That's how it'll finish. We shall be like him when we see him as he is. I'm not very much like him now. The story is told, a lovely story is told, of Andrew Bonner, the Scottish minister of the 19th century, and the great Baptist preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Bonner sent Spurgeon his commentary on Leviticus. And Spurgeon received it gratefully. And then he sent the book back and he says, "Dear Bonner, thank you for your book. But," he says, "I would like you to sign it along with a photograph of yourself." Bonner complied with Spurgeon's request. And he wrote, "Dear Spurgeon, as requested, the book autographed and the picture of myself. I only wish you'd have waited a little while when you see of me in glory, for I shall be like him." Isn't that lovely? Yes, that's the reward. And when we see him, we shall be without spot or blemish or any such thing, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But he will present us before his heavenly Father, holy and without blame. And we shall be like him. We shall be in his likeness. Look for a moment at Philippians. And it's chapter 3. In verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he comes again, will change our vile body." These bodies that have been humiliated because of sin, "that it may be fashioned," what, like? "Like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things, even unto himself." Way back in the Psalms, even David looked forward to that day when "I shall rise, I shall be satisfied with his likeness." And finally, in Colossians, chapter 1 and verse number 22. "In the body of his flesh through death," remember he tasted death for every man, "to present you, dear child of God, at the end of your pilgrimage, at the end of your Christian course, he may present you holy and blameless and unreprovable in his sight." You know, friends, God's people are a privileged people. And Jude penned these words. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. For what reason? To present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. May the good Lord bless to all our hearts this reading from his own precious word. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we draw nigh to the throne of grace. And we thank thee that we may come boldly in the Saviour's name, by that new and living way he hath consecrated for us through the rent veil of his flesh. Thank God, the word assures us that if we draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto us. And we pray for your rich blessing upon all the dear believers and all who will hear this message. Bless your dear word and bless it for the upbuilding of the saints on their most precious faith, that we may indeed walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called unto the glory and honour of God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all these things, even the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.